About 10 years ago or so, there was a movie that came out called Into Great Silence. And it follows the life over the course of about a year of the Carthusian monks of the Grand Chartreuse in France. The interesting thing about it is that it really is without commentary. They just follow these monks around. It's a great movie to watch during Lent, though I recommend having 3 or 4 cups of coffee beforehand, because it really is very silent and very lulling, let's say. But there are a few interviews, a few times when monks just look into the camera and speak about their lives. And one of them is a monk who was blind. He was at this point near 90 years old, and I'm sure that since then he's probably gone to God. But in that interview, he had lost his eyesight later in life. And for him, at first it was a great trial. But at this point in his life, he had actually come to thank God for the blindness, because as he said, by closing my eyes of sight, he opened my eyes of faith. And he truly believed that there were a great many distractions and sins that God had prevented in his life by taking away the gift of sight. Now we know that God doesn't directly involve himself in taking away sight, but he can work good through that. And that's exactly what this monk saw, that there were good things that were coming out of his having been stricken with this blindness. So today, we are given this gospel, which I think the monk would have very easily understood and probably meditated upon many times. Because really, there are two miracles that take place here. And the less obvious one is the greater of the two, and the longer lasting of the two. The first miracle is that this man, born blind, was given the gift of sight. But the more important thing was that in being restored, having that gift restored to him, he didn't forget or neglect the giver of that gift. Since this was something that had not been in his life and suddenly appeared in his life, he knew that he had been given a gift that so many of us take for granted, like so many gifts in our lives. The blind man shows us how to let God work in our lives. And that's really the first lesson. This man born blind had heard that Jesus clearly was a healer. He probably thought that Jesus would lay hands on him or do something with the pool of Siloam, perhaps. But when Jesus started to make mud with saliva and smear it on his eyes, I don't know about him, but I would be a little taken aback. That this would be a little counterintuitive to the way I'm thinking I'm supposed to be healed. And yet this blind man allowed Christ to work in his life the way that Jesus wanted to. That's that first leap of faith. So many times in our lives, things happen, and we think that we know what's going to lead us closer to holiness or closer to happiness. And the opposite happens, or something we didn't even suspect occurs. But we have to let God work through that, to let him operate the way that he wants to, in his great wisdom. And if we allow him to do that, if we allow him to work with us in his way, then we will begin to have that deeper faith and a deeper happiness. We see that in the first reading when Samuel has an idea of how God should work. That this oldest child, this oldest son of Jesse, who is the strong one, the one who's a leader, that should be the king. God had other plans, but Samuel, because he's a man of God, allowed God to work through him and to work through David. And because of the line of David, we have Christ, who we read about today. He also didn't mistake the gift for the giver. So when he had his eyesight, he didn't go running off to go see the things that he'd always wanted to see. The first thing he did was went back to the one who gave him that gift back. And we so often do that as well. We mistake the gift as the highest good. And there are some great goods that God gives us. For instance, parents often say that the most important thing in their lives are their children. And on a natural level, that is true, and it should be that way. But how often do we thank God for the gift of those children? Because in a paradox, the more we love God, the more we're able to love those around us. If we focus our attention just on our spouse, just on our parents, just on our children, and see those purely as human relationships, we actually love less than if we love God first, the giver of the gift, and then we recognize God in those gifts. Because now we're not simply loving a natural gift given to us, but a supernatural gift, one that echoes far into eternity. Somebody who is not only receives our love, but who receives the infinite love of God. The more we love God, the more we love those gifts. Or our health. So oftentimes people say, if you have your health, you have everything. It's a pretty common platitude. And that's absolutely false. Some of the healthiest people are the people who are farthest from God. And some people who are on their deathbed within hours of death are the people that are closest to God. Health leaves all of us at some point. Everybody who's ever born has died, except for the Blessed Mother and our Lord. So if we think that health is the most important thing, again, we're deluding ourselves. I had an uncle who really lived a pretty dissolute life and was a very difficult person to be around. But in his last few months of life, when he really became ill and was no longer the picture of health, he had a complete conversion. It was the loss of his health that allowed him to appreciate the years that he had had that health and look to the giver of the gift in God. So we have to let the blind man and his story reorient us towards God. That's what allows us to appreciate the things that we have, whether it's the great gifts like our families or the smaller gifts that perhaps we take for granted. If we orient ourselves towards God like the blind man, then all of those gifts become more precious, and we can love them even more. There's a few ways we can do this. One is to cleanse our spiritual sight, which is far more important than our natural sight. That blind man died 2,000 years ago. His eyes are dust like the rest of them, although God will resurrect it on the last day. That spiritual sight continues on. I've little doubt that this man became a saint because of his profession of faith. And so now with the eyes of faith, he sees God face to face. So we have to clear out that spiritual sight that's so important. It becomes clouded by sin and by self-centeredness. And this is where we turn to God for penance, for reconciliation. And we do that especially in the sacrament of confession, clearing that sight away. And then reorienting our gaze towards Christ in daily prayer. And then finally, receiving the Eucharist as often as possible, certainly every Sunday. Because that's what allows us to have the nourishment that we need to have that clear spiritual sight. So if we can be like the blind man and understand all the gifts that we have and have that spirit of gratitude, and then direct that gratitude towards the one who gives us every good thing, then we'll be having a wonderful Lent and a great Easter, because no longer will we be directed towards perishable things, but we'll be directed towards the imperishable giver of every good thing, who will bring us at one point to our Lord's own house, where with the blind man we can gaze on our Lord for all eternity.